SaskAg Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to SaskAg Today. Coming up on today's program, Saskatchewan's Water Security Agency has provided an update on the status of Saskatchewan's reservoirs. We'll hear from spokesman Patrick Boyle on that. The Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan is one of many groups opposed to the federal carbon tax. Bill Probilski, who farms in the Willowbrook area, is APAS vice president. He will tell us about his issues with that carbon tax increase that came into effect on Monday. Cattle prices in Saskatchewan were down or mixed according to the latest cattle market update for the week ending March 29th. We'll hear from provincial livestock economist Brad Marceniak on that. And Michael Wilton of Mercantile Consulting Venture in Winnipeg will provide his weekly overview of the wheat market. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of SaskAg Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. Saskatchewan's Water Security Agency, or WSA, has provided an update on the status of Saskatchewan's reservoirs. Patrick Boyle is a spokesman for the agency.
We're in pretty good shape overall, with 33 of our 45 major reservoirs, nearly three quarters or near full or expected to fill. And then we have another six reservoirs between 70 and 90% full and still filling right now. So outside of that, we have another six that will likely not fill. And most of those are in the southwest part of Saskatchewan.
He says the snowstorm that hit over the Easter long weekend should help bring water levels up.
Yeah, absolutely. That's some of that impact of that late March snowfall that we had that you're seeing kind of response there. And as it starts to melt here and make its way into our reservoirs, and what we're starting to see is that certainly that helped us and we're in good shape. And a lot of our reservoirs, too, we took a pretty conservative plan for operating over the winter here. And the goal was to make sure we fill all of our reservoirs here at the end of the day so as to limit some of those outflows, but making sure that if we didn't get a lot of moisture in the landscape, we were able to capture what we did receive.
Boyle notes Lake Diefenbaker is Saskatchewan's largest reservoir and supplies over 60% of the province's water supply needs.
Lake Diefenbaker, we did take that pretty serious approach to the conservative operating plan, and we're about a meter higher than we were this time last year, and a meter and a half higher than 2 years ago as far as level-wise. So we're in pretty good shape at Lake Diefenbaker overall here going forward. So we're just above really where our historical average would be. So we're looking to fill that reservoir earlier in the season this year.
And he says more spring rain or snow will affect reservoir levels as well.
Yeah, absolutely. No one really likes to hear me say it, but heavy wet snow in April would be a benefit to the most of the province here in most areas that we wouldn't say no to. But really our eye turns from as the temperatures start to turn here to rainfall and how does that interact in the springtime here and what we may see and some of those operations you'd have to make to adjust for any of that heavy rainfall as it comes.
Over the winter, snowpack conditions ranged from below normal to well below normal. While runoff conditions can change during late winter and spring, the Water Security Agency says it will continue to monitor moisture and forecasted weather patterns and adjust operating plans accordingly. Meanwhile, the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan, or APAS, is one of many groups opposed to the federal carbon tax. On Monday, it was increased to $80 a metric ton. And yesterday, APAS pointed out how much the tax would affect a farmer's bottom line. They tracked the cost implication of heating fuel, grain drying, and transportation from farm to elevator and ports on a per-acre basis. They figure a 62-bushel-an-acre crop in the black soil zone which is the east central region of the province, could incur an additional $7.24 per acre in costs due to the carbon tax this year. It would increase to $17.31 per acre by the year 2030, assuming the input costs and services increase alongside the tax. APAS Vice President Bill Probilski farms in the Willowbrook area just west of Yorkton. He says his area is affected the most by it.
We are the furthest away from the port. Our freight costs are the highest to begin with, and the carbon tax that we pay on the freight is a significant cost to producers in our area. Typically, we have a little more harsher harvests. We do dry a lot of grain, and again, that carbon tax on the propane and natural gas used for drying greens is a fairly significant cost on our farm.
APAS estimates a hypothetical 5,000-acre farm producing wheat, canola, barley, peas, and oats would incur between $22,000 and $30,000 from the carbon tax based on various production scenarios and grain drying requirements. For Probilski, he dried about 250,000 bushels at a cost of $10,000 in 2023.
It's a fairly significant hit, yeah. Overall, as a percentage of our overall expenses, it's not that large. But again, this comes straight off of our bottom lines. When our margins are tight to begin with, which they are because of decreasing commodity prices and the still relatively high input costs, our margins are quite thin, and this extra carbon tax will come directly off of our already thin margins.
APAS is re-emphasizing the importance of Bill C-234, a private member's bill that would give grain drying an exemption from carbon pricing. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and others within the Liberal government have made it clear they're not budging on the tax. While it's discouraging to hear, Probilski says they're not giving up.
We haven't given up on Bill C-234. You know, obviously from a Saskatchewan producer's perspective, the proposed amendments from the Senate, which would just eliminate the heating and cooling of barns and greenhouses, isn't a huge impact on Saskatchewan overall. But for those that it does affect, it's huge. Like, you know, the cost to heat barns in the middle of winter is pretty significant. So, you know, while the majority of the grain drying costs would be exempted in the new version of the bill, you know, we're still hoping that the bill can come back in its original form and passed.
Bill C-234's current status is listed as at consideration in the House of Commons of amendments made by the Senate. APAS is also urging the federal government to prevent railways from transferring the carbon tax burden onto producers through freight weight surcharges or allowable increases to the maximum revenue entitlement index. It's now time for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, Ag Review.
The Manitoba government is maintaining a 50% school tax rebate for farm properties while planning to collect an additional $148 million in school taxes after scrapping rebates for commercial and many residential properties. The Keystone Agricultural Producers was pleased to see several commitments on the labor front, including the restoration of a rural doctor recruitment fund, $1.5 million to increase apprenticeship training seats, and $135,000 for a new veterinary strategy to address the vet shortage in the province. Manitoba also committed to reopening two Manitoba Agricultural Services Corporation centers that were closed by the previous PC government. CAP also welcomed $146.9 million for business risk management program funding, the creation of a livestock predation prevention strategy, extension of the gas tax removal by 3 months, freezing ag crown land lease rates, and supports for young farmers. Flax prices have been steady to higher over the last month, with old crop prices on the Canadian prairies adding 75 cents per bushel, while those in North Dakota remained unchanged. Cash prices for flax across Western Canada range from $13.20 to $15.75 per bushel for old crop delivered, with new crop at $16.30, according to Prairie Ag Hotwire. Those in North Dakota were steady at the Canadian dollar equivalent of $13.91 to $15.94 per bushel delivered for old crop, with no new crop prices listed by Prairie Ag. Scott Shields of Grain Millers Canada in Yorkton says it's going to be a good year for flax because acres are projected to be down again, and we are seeing less people who are going to be flax growers. He stresses that flax is a particularly difficult crop to grow, one that's not conducive to every area. Lentils are expected to see the largest acreage increase, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Prospective Plantings Report released Thursday. It forecast a 39.5% increase in seeded area to the crop on the year at 762,000 acres. If realized, that would be the largest lentil acreage in the U.S. since 2018 and well above the five-year average of 586,000 acres. Lentil stocks are on the tighter side worldwide, while India has dropped tariffs on U.S. lentils, which has contributed to the strength in that market. However, seed availability could be a limiting factor on the increase. Weather conditions through the growing season will also be important to watch going forward, especially as many regions remain on the dry side. American egg producer Cal-Maine Foods has temporarily halted production at its Texas facility after detecting avian influenza, which has led to the culling of about 1.6 million laying hens. The move comes amid rising concern over the rapid spread of the deadly H5N1 strain of bird flu in birds and mammals, and just a day after Texas reported the second case of the strain in a human in the United States. The company said it had culled about 3.6% of its total flock as of last month, including 337,000 pullets, or young hens, after its facility in Palmer Country, Texas, tested positive. Since 2022, 82 million U.S. chickens, turkeys, and other birds have been culled due to a deadly strain of the virus, which has spread to many corners of the world and has even been found in the frozen continent of Antarctica. European policymakers have scaled back rules to protect nature, drawn up limits on the import of tariff-free Ukrainian grains, and scrapped new legislation limiting pesticide use as farmers' protests resonate with voters ahead of elections. From Poland to Portugal, farmers have won remarkable concessions in response to waves of street action, reshaping the European Union's green politics months ahead of European Parliament elections. Environmental activists and analysts say the policy backsliding illustrates the considerable political influence of farmers as mainstream parties seek to impede the far-right and nationalist parties' hunt for votes in rural areas. Farmers again blockaded streets surrounding the European Union headquarters in Brussels last week, spraying manure to protest low incomes, cheap food imports, and burdensome red tape. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free. And that's the AgriView portion of our program. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will return in 1 minute's time. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Falconer. It's mainly sunny and 4 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Cattle prices in Saskatchewan were down or mixed, according to the latest cattle market update for the week ending March 29th. Provincial livestock economist Brad Marceniak says most of the feeder steer prices declined and heifer prices were mixed.
Feeder steer prices range from $497.83 per hundredweight for the 4 to 500 pound weight category down to $293 per hundredweight in the 900 plus pound weight category. The average price for steers in the heavier 900 plus pound weight category declined the most over the week at $23.20 per hundredweight compared to the previous week of March 22nd. The 4 to 500-pound feeder steer weight category increased $11.58 per hundredweight for that week, ending March 29th. And really, the prices were very strong, and they established a new record high price here of $497.83. Most weight categories were higher in March from February, with some of the categories establishing new record high prices. Average Saskatchewan heifer prices ranged from $411.78 per hundredweight for the 4 to 500 pound weight category to $301.50 per hundredweight for the 800 plus pound weight category. Average prices were mixed amongst the heifer categories, with the highest increase being in the 4 to 500 pound feeder heifers, improving $4.40 per hundredweight from the previous week, while the largest price decline was $7.34 per hundredweight in the 5 to 600 pound feeder heifer category.
Recent events in the U.S. raised some concern, but Marceniak believes the outlook for the cattle market remains positive.
I think there was some concern overall last week with a bearish cattle on feed report in the U.S., along with a fire in a U.S. slaughter plant, which contributed to feeder cattle future prices moving lower and affecting the cash markets. Feeder prices were near all-time highs in many weight categories and likely needed some pullback. But overall, I think the industry outlook still remains positive for markets, and beef cutout values remain strong, while feed prices are lower than a year ago. Consumer demand for meat, and particularly beef, into the summer will be a key factor where prices go.
As for market-ready cattle in Alberta, Marceniak notes prices were mixed last week.
Prices of Alberta cows were mixed from the previous week. D2 cows averaged $165.25 per hundredweight, and that was down 89 cents from the previous week. D3 cows were up, though, $1.75 per hundredweight over the week, to average $147.67 per hundredweight. The Canfax price for Alberta fed steers for the week ending March 29th was $238.55 per hundredweight, and that was up $5.54 from the previous week when it was $233.10 per hundredweight. Prices last week were the highest year-to-date for 2024 and less than 4% off from the record high set in 2023.
In Saskatchewan, there were 14,088 head of cattle marketed, up from 12,210 marketed the previous week, and above the 12,674 head marketed around this time a year ago.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 175.60 today. That's down 77. August live cattle closed at 172.70, down 42. May feeder cattle closed at 242.57, down 227. August feeder cattle closed at 252.45, down 220. May lean hogs closed at 95 even, that's up 132. June lean hogs closed at 104.75, up 102. And that's the livestock market conditions. Michael Wilton of Mercantile Consulting Venture has provided his weekly overview of the wheat market. It was issued through the Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission.
U.S. wheat futures diverged last week as the USDA prospective plantings report was perceived to be supportive for winter wheat, but negative for spring wheat. A positive reaction to the plantings report in the corn market added additional strength for Chicago wheat futures. As far as some of the most important news that happened in the wheat markets last week, we're going to start with the U.S. prospective plantings report that was released on Thursday. USDA put U.S. all wheat seeded area down by 4% from last year to 47.5 million acres. All wheat acres were near the middle of the trade's expectations, but slightly higher than the average estimate that the trade was expecting. The USDA has winter wheat area at 41.1 million acres, which is 7% less than last year. Other spring wheat is expected to grow by 1% to 11.3 million acres. This was higher than the trade was expecting. And the USDA is calling for a record durum area of 2 million acres, while the trade was expecting a 1.7 million acre number. The U.S. durum acre estimate is 21% larger than last year. Overall, the prospective plantings report was mixed for wheat. Fewer winter wheat acres are supportive for prices in Chicago and Kansas, but more spring wheat area and a record Durham area will be negative for those markets. And we'll actually go straight over and we'll just add a couple more comments to spring wheat and Durham wheat area. As far as other wheat, as we mentioned, seeded wheat area, seeded spring wheat area in the upcoming season is expected to be 11.3 million acres, which is a 1% increase year over year. The trade was expecting a 10.9 million acre number, so there was about a 400,000 gap between the estimates and what the USDA was expecting. Most of the increase in the prospective acres is in Minnesota, which are up 23% year over year, while expected acres in North Dakota are down by 5%, while South Dakota is actually up by 15%. For U.S. Durham, the USDA is forecasting that Durham area will grow by 21% from last year to a record of 2 million acres. Most of the increase is expected to be in North Dakota, where Durham area is expected to expand by almost 200,000 acres to 1.1 million acres. Seeded area in Montana is expected to grow by just under 100,000 acres to 850 acres. So the increase in seeded area for Durham and trend yields would produce about a 35% larger crop than last year at 2.2 million acres, million tons rather. Low beginning stocks and 200,000 tons of fewer imports, which would impact demand from Canada, would mean total supply is 3.7 million tons, which is just 5% more than last year. If we leave use essentially unchanged, ending stocks would grow by 31% from the low volume of the 23-24 season to a much more normal volume of 754,000 tons. And you can see on the carryout, this is similar to the 22-23 crop season. Okay, we'll go back to Canada, where the Canadian weekly exports were smaller at 326,000 tons, but exports were still in line with the average pace needed to meet the AAFC's 10.25 million ton export forecast. Visible supplies grew due to large deliveries. Canadian farmers delivered over 500,000 tons of durum into the Canadian elevator system, which should allow exports to remain high for the time being, at least. For durum exports, week 34 Canadian durum exports were smaller at 62,000 tons, but similarly remain above the average weekly volume needed to meet the AAFC's export estimate. Two-thirds of the exports were executed through the St. Lawrence. The USDA also released their U.S. wheat stocks report. The USDA had U.S. all wheat stocks as of March 1st at 1.1 billion bushels, up 16% from last year. The trade was expecting that stocks would be about 1 billion bushels. On-farm stocks are up 20% year over year. Possibly the biggest reason why spring wheat fared so poorly on Thursday when all the reports were released was the fact that almost 40% of the increase in wheat stocks from last year is due to larger stocks in the major spring wheat producing states of Montana, North Dakota, and Minnesota. The combined wheat stocks of these states as of March 1st are 322 million bushels, which is 21% more than last year, and account for 30% of all the wheat stocks in the U.S. For durum stocks, as of March 1st, were 26.3 million bushels, which is 2% higher year over year. On-farm stocks were up by 10%, while off-farm stocks were down by 10% from last year. Indicated December to February disappearance was 8.7 million bushels, which is 29% less than last year. And that finishes us up with US and Canada, so we will move on to Australia, where wheat futures were pressured as the country looks forward to seeding and soil moisture levels are strong. The forecast does look dry for the next 2 to 3 weeks, which should bring them right up until seeding time. For Argentina, farmers in Argentina are restricting selling as there is talk that the country may devaluate or even float its currency. Farmers are waiting to see, because if they devaluate or float their currency, they would get paid more in domestic dollars as they kind of hedge their local currency against the US dollar by storing grain. In the European Union, official data shows that EU wheat exports are 2% behind last year. There are, however, chronic issues with the data, specifically the French numbers. EU exports may actually be larger than last year. The EU is close to finalizing the structure on controls of Ukrainian grain imports. It looks like it will have limited impact on the flow of Ukrainian grain from the EU, however, as it is based on an average calculation of the average volume of grain that was imported over the last 3 years. The condition of the French wheat crop was reported to be unchanged last week at 66% good to excellent, although the crops in a large portion of the EU continue to struggle from excessive amounts of rain. In the Black Sea, the Russian government awarded the remaining volume of the February to June export quota. Exporters' grain gates got 77.5% of the total volume, while Riff Trading House, who we mentioned was having a bit of a tiff, I guess, with the Russian government last week, there weren't given any of the allocation. Reports say that Riff is still up, has upwards of 400,000 tons of wheat that is in ports, but is being prevented from being exported. As far as some of the significant purchases and trades go, early Monday mornings, the Saudi Arabia General Food Security Authority booked 795,000 tons of wheat for June-July delivery. The price was $256.40 per ton on a CFR basis. This is about $28 per ton cheaper than their last purchase in December. And we didn't mention it when we were talking about U.S. wheat, but U.S. old crop wheat sales were within expectations, at the high end of expectations, actually, at 340,000 tons. And new crop wheat sales continued to be strong in the U.S. at 213,000 tons. As far as some of the other significant events that happened in the grain markets more broadly, was that the U.S. prospective plantings report had corn area below expectations at 90 million acres, down 5% from last year. The stocks report showed corn stocks stored in all positions were slightly slower than expected as well, but still at a four-year high of 8.4 million bushels. As far as the outlook goes, lower quality wheat has some strength due to weather in Europe and the Black Sea. But in general, we expect wheat will move mostly sideways. We would leave additional sales alone for now, except for Durham, actually. The increased acres in the U.S. and stronger acres in Canada makes the Durham balance sheet look a little bit heavy. And so we would actually sell about 30% of your expected new crop production at today's prices.
That's Michael Wilton of Mercantile Consulting Venture in Winnipeg. Please stay tuned. Your commodities update is coming up in 1 minute's time.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. May canola closed at $6.34.20, down $1.10. July canola closed at $6.42.90, down $1.20. May Minneapolis wheat closed at $6.39.50, that's up 12 cents. May Kansas City wheat closed at $5.80.50, up 17 and a quarter cents. May Chicago wheat closed at $5.56 per bushel, up 10 and 3 quarters of a cent. May corn closed at $4.31 and 3 quarters, up 5 and a quarter cents. May soybeans closed at $11.82 and a quarter, that's up 8 and a quarter cents. May oats closed at $3.44 and a quarter, down 8 and a half cents. And that's the commodities update. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. Spring this year is shaping up to be one where it will take its time to fully arrive as opposed to rushing in. David Phillips with Environment Canada says this month will have warmer than normal temperatures, but left some room for the possibility that we could get one more dump of snow at the end of April. He says one thing we won't have to worry about is flooding.
I think we can get the warm-up. I think certainly farmers and ranchers are going to be able to get onto the fields, and as long as the soil begins to warm up, the ground really isn't as frozen as it would be in other years. There's not snow sitting on the ground necessarily to melt. We see some parts of the province, in Yorkton, for example, there's 14 centimeters of snow in the ground. Up in Saskatoon, about 9 centimeters. But in southern parts, Kindersley, about 3. So it's not a huge amount. And so certainly in some years you're with that and you've got to get rid of that, and if it gets rid of it too fast, that's why I always think a slow motion coming of the seasons is always the best for the most.
Phillips says May and June will be the most important months for precipitation.
That May-June period. June is the wettest month on average, and it comes from the fact that the jet stream is changing its position from a winter location to summer. And as it moves across the prairies, it often brings widespread precipitation. And that would be gold for farmers and ranchers because of the situation we find ourselves right now.
2023 was drier than normal in Saskatchewan. Phillips was asked if what we've experienced is, in a phrase, a new normal.
Well, that's a very good question, and I think it's important to address that. What we have seen, no question, one year does not a trend make. You can't sort of take one year, one winter, one summer of last year and say, okay, that's going to be what the situation is this year. For example, we know that next winter will not be this winter plus one. It doesn't work that way. We know that our climate is quite variable. It's up and down. We can have drought years and flood years and that thing. But if you take a look at what we've seen in recent years, and I'm going back over several years, maybe a couple of decades, there's clearly what is evident in Canada, as it is around the world, that our climate has changed. We are seeing warmer seasons. It wouldn't be something you could feel if you went outside, but it's often just minuscule. I mean, a fraction changes. But no question about it, if you squint at the trends, you see it upward and outward. And we have seen, for example, particularly in our winters in Canada, our winters aren't what they used to be. Old timers are right when they say, you know, the winters have changed, and they clearly are. They're maybe not as long, they're not as frightfully cold, and precipitation-wide, we seem to get maybe in some cases a little bit less precipitation than we used to.
Phillips went on to say that farmers and ranchers are aware of the changes in climate, and they're adapting.
And it's amazing how much we can do with the precipitation that we get now. If we got this precipitation from we're getting less precipitation times now than we did during the dirty 30s when farms were abandoned, where farming practices were totally different than they are now. But because of the science, because of the education of farmers, the risks that they're willing to take, farming is always going to be a challenge. But my gosh, when you think of the challenges they're faced with tariffs and taxes and weather, which has always been an issue, it's remarkable how well farmers and food producers do.
David Phillips is a senior climatologist with Environment and Climate Change Canada.
Farm Bulletin Board.
The Yorkton 4-H Spring Steer and Heifer Show starts tomorrow. Weighing starts at 11 and goes until 1 in the afternoon. All participants are to be in the show arena by 1 o'clock for the announcement of teams. There will be a showmanship clinic for the Clover Buds and for the juniors from 1:30 until 2, and for the intermediate and seniors from 2 until 2:45. However, all 4-H members are welcome to participate in both clinics. So there will be events going on tomorrow as well as Friday and Saturday at the Yorkton Exhibition Grounds for the Yorkton 4-H Spring Steer and Heifer Show. It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba, Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Mainly sunny, winds southeast at 20 to 35 with gusts higher at times and a high of 6 degrees. For tonight, mainly clear, winds southeast at 10 to 20, a low of minus 2. For tomorrow, partly sunny, winds southeast at 15 to 25, a high of 6, an overnight low of minus 1. For Friday, partly sunny, winds southeast at 25 to 40, a high of 8. For Saturday, partly sunny, a high of 10. Sunday, a mix of sun and cloud, also a high of 10. In the Paw, it's 6 degrees. Swan River is at 5. Dauphin and Brandon, 4. Show Lake, Russell and Roblin, 3. Regina is at 12, Saskatoon 11, Hudson Bay 10, Broadview Mooseman, Indian Head 8, Wynyard Wadena Kelvington 6. The Yorkton Melville region has a mainly sunny sky, a southeast wind at 28 kilometers an hour, 68% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 4 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for SaskAg Today for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.